It's Tuesday, 4:23. Krista is out. She's still recovering from 4:20 and or Easter.
I didn't think you would make that joke. I was going to.
She's still recovering from Easter. Or?
No, I think you got it.
We don't know.
We do know. Well, we suspect. But today we're going to do government and security, which are Krista's least favorite topics.
Yes.
So she'll be happy about that. And let's start off with a little China block. And what I like to do on a lot of Level 1 news, I like to start off with a Jeet Pai. Get everybody's juices flowing, because everybody hates him. But today, it's the best of both worlds.
A Jeet Pai proposes blocking China-owned telecom from the U.S. phone market. And I thought they were talking about Huawei when I read the headline. They're not. They're talking about China Telecom.
China Mobile. Which, like, is it China Telecom or China Mobile?
It's I think it was...
China Mobile.
Oh, okay.
Which, to me, like, I read this article and I was like, how would China think, with all the headlines, who in America would buy something called China Mobile? Turns out that's not what it is. What they want to do is they want to carry international mobile calls on their thing. And a Jeet Pai says, dude, you're going to listen to those. We can't let you do that. We'll do that, but... Yeah.
It is a little disturbing that that's a pattern of stories. That's also a security story coming up, I think, is like, wait a minute, the thing they're complaining about is the thing that we do.
Every government is hypocritical by nature. But I don't think he can just, you know, like declare this. It has to be approved by somebody, but I can't imagine anybody in the government's going to stand in the way of this.
Well, I mean, I would feel okay. Is China Telecom going to handle international calls to China, at which point I think that's moot, or are they going to handle calls to other international countries like Germany and stuff? Because now, that's a different situation.
But here's, I think, the problem is you've got these Chinese dissidents who are living in America.
Oh, and you can track them down.
Right, yeah. Mm. And they've been known to use nefarious means to track down people who are blogging and stuff in America and go after their families.
Now, I seem to remember a news story from a couple of months ago where, like, American authorities were rerouting internet traffic through foreign countries in order to be able to surveil it.
Well, how about that time that we bribed Ecuador to arrest one man?
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of China and specifically Huawei, you said you suspected Huawei because why did you suspect that? U.S. government hates Huawei and they will not stop.
The U.S. intelligence says that Huawei funded by Chinese state security. This is the report. So Huawei has responded and they're like, evidence. We need evidence or input. But, I mean, so like in America, we have the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, which is government funded, but they're all about open standards and security. And historically, they've been very good, but they've had some lapses, like the elliptic curve encryption. So like if I were China and looking at that, it would be like, why did the NIST interfere with the, or why did the intelligence community interfere with the NIST's dual elliptic curve encryption standard? That's like what Huawei is being accused of here is literally what happened with the elliptic curve encryption.
This is supposedly the evidence that everybody's been saying to produce. They're saying they've got the evidence. So,
but it's in a secret court, which is no way to conduct business. Look, everybody is, like, ham-fistedly using technology. We just need to bring it out into the open. In order for people to actually be more secure, we can't be going about building backdoors into everybody else's stuff because everybody's going to be able to detect everybody else's backdoors. I mean, come on.
We talk about the long list of stuff that China does steal from us, from military secrets to aircraft secrets to telecommunications, copyrights, patents. The list is huge, but... maybe this is one I hadn't heard of before. Cancer research.
Scientists have been fired from a cancer research center after being accused of stealing research for China. Like, 5 people were involved, 3 people were dismissed, 2 aren't going to fight it, 1 is. It's a weird situation.
But the Chinese government's response to this, I don't know if it's the Chinese government, it might have been like lawyers representing these guys or whatever, but I can't help but agree with it, which is, how does cancer research... like, why isn't that just something you would share? Because they're kind of admitting, hey, this is our product. We are going to sell this. This is not to help humankind. This Chinese people don't need this because they can't afford it. This is for Westerners because we're going to sell it to them. And that's a... you know, legally they have grounds, but it's such a disgusting thing. It's like, no, no, no. The Chinese can't have our cancer research. This is our cancer research. You did it wrong.
That is a little disturbing. Although, yeah. Isn't the whole point of research to, like, share the data?
Yeah, that's their point. They're like, what? You're accusing us of stealing something. Like, why? This is good for all mankind. If we take this, and then we take it further, everybody wins. Except for the pharmaceutical companies that are probably funding the research. That's a little bit of... like, I'm usually a diehard capitalist, but when it comes to some things like that, you do have to sit back and be like, wait a minute. Are we holding back cancer research to make money? Is that something that we're doing now?
Yeah, it turns out.
Well, speaking, we talked earlier about Ecuador and that time that we gave them, what was it, $4 billion to arrest one man? And now some interesting things. This headline says, admits. But they didn't admit anything. It's just that sealed documents became unsealed.
Yeah, the U.S. government admits it doesn't know if Assange cracked a password for Manning. So the FBI agent testified that Assange offered to help Manning break a password on an account so that it would be more difficult to trace the leaks back to him. But the U.S. government confirmed that it didn't really know if Assange had gone through with that. And so this is apparently... the conspiracy to commit computer abuse that one of the charges that they're charging him with, which seems really like they're really reaching.
Watch those pronouns, bro.
Oh yeah, sorry.
So it kind of just points out that once they figured out they didn't have him for what they thought they had him for, they just piled a bunch of other crap onto it. I mean, nothing's going to stop them from. Yeah. Taking down Assange.
But do we, like, we, is there no, why? Why can't we just, why?
Because if you embarrass the U.S. government or the alphabet agencies, you will be destroyed. And, case in point?
Security researcher MalwareTech pleads guilty. What? You know, he called these charges BS. So he could face up to 10 years in prison, although I'm not, usually like when there's a plea deal, this is a plea deal, usually there's a maximum, and it's hard for me to imagine that he entered into a plea deal with a maximum of 10 years actually on the table.
Well, he had 8 charges. He pled guilty to 2. Pleaded. I like pled, but every couple of publication uses pleaded, so I guess that's correct.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm against it. Anyway... I imagine all 8 would have been like the rest of your life, and you're gambling with a jury and a judge to understand some really complex ideas.
Yeah.
So somebody probably sat him down. This is another situation where if you look into it, the original charge that they arrested him and questioned him about was proven to be false, or they couldn't prosecute him on, or some kind of technicality because he didn't really do it. So what do? Just invented more stuff. And there he goes.
It's going to be rough. He seems to be very carefully guarding his words. I mean, he made a statement on Twitter and some other stuff, but I imagine he is at the mercy of the prosecutor at this point, so he's going to not say much.
Yeah.
Although, reading between the lines, even if he is responsible for the Kronos banking malware, other actual criminals have taken it to the nth degree, so, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
3,000 hours of community service is a lot different than 10 years in prison.
A long time. I suspect 10 was the maximum for those 2 charges. I bet he'll get like 4 or 5.
That's still rough.
And and he'll have to, you know, not come back to America or something like that. Of course, it doesn't. I mean, borders don't matter to what he does. Well, speaking of, let's move from some people who probably have been railroaded and are on the wrong side of justice to someone who is definitely. Should be on the wrong side of the Justice Department, but probably won't be because he's very powerful and everything is being done to protect him.
Once again, the level one juxtaposition. Facebook is fighting to shield Zuckerberg from punishment in U.S. privacy probe. Now, the FTC is looking into making Zuckerberg personally responsible for all of this stuff. And so that's the shielding that they're talking about here. Arguably, you think the stuff that Zuckerberg has done is worse than what MalwareTech Bro did?
I don't know. I mean, well, in light of foreshadowing the security section or the social media section of the news, which won't be today, unfortunately. Yeah, pretty bad. But I would blame Zuckerberg on more of a meta level, which is like, you know, Facebook is just this cancer on society. But that's akin to blaming gun manufacturers. Mm. I mean, people make the choice to take that drug.
People make the choice to share that data with Facebook.
You got to let them, right? So, I don't know. But they're definitely scared, you can tell.
Yeah.
Like the big data companies or big tech companies are finally getting a little bit spooked because... And this is probably just leverage to get a bigger fine out of them.
Yeah. I think also shareholders might embrace the whole blame Zuckerberg thing in order to wrest control of the company from him.
Yeah.
Because if everybody is... Like, usually the way that it works with a company in America is you have the entire company acting in concert to do something hideously evil, but no one person is to blame. It's everyone working together to be hideously evil.
To him, I bet that is just slightly less bad than jail time.
Yeah.
Because that's his whole identity. And if he loses that, what is he?
Yeah.
He's just, you know, a robot. It's back to being a regular robot. He can't take that. The Department of Justice, again, I think as we're heading up to 2020, I think, like, you really want to put that pin on your lapel that says, I fought the big tech companies. That's going to be a big campaign thing. And this might have something to do with that.
The T-Mobile-Sprint merger is in danger of being rejected by the DOJ. Now, I'm pretty sure that the DOJ, just like a year or two ago, said, hey, Sprint and T-Mobile aren't in any danger of competing with AT&T or Verizon. We will rubber stamp that merger, no problem.
And the thing that they cite, which is absolutely true, lack of competition. Obviously, when you have such a small number of telecommunication companies, and you take one out of the way, that's pretty simple mathematics. That will be bad for competition.
But if T-Mobile and Sprint want to go toe-to-toe with the likes of AT&T and Verizon, they have to merge. At least that's their argument. Because there's no way that they could either one grow to the point that they could compete or whatever.
But that argument never stops being true as you pull slices of the pie away.
Yeah.
So that reasoning always ends in one.
One mobile carrier. The government mobile carrier.
The China way. they have the ZTE and Huawei. A lot of people say that's all synonymous with Chinese government, but splitting hairs. Now let's switch down to some state news. And Utah, you don't usually hear about Utah being like spearheading the digital revolution, but they've done an amazing thing.
This is a big deal. Utah has banned police from searching digital data without a warrant. So this is closing a Fourth Amendment loophole. We talk about this loophole all the time where the government can't collect data on citizens, but if you voluntarily give your data to Google, the government can request that data from Google and no Fourth Amendment violation has occurred. Well, in Utah, they put the kibosh on that. And Utah is the only state in the United States that's like that. The other 49 states don't put any restrictions.
You adopted that word now?
What?
Kibosh.
Oh, kibosh.
Didn't you say last week you'd never heard it before?
Kibosh. No, I'd never heard it pronounced as kibosh.
Oh.
I'd always heard it pronounced as
kibosh. I Googled
kibosh.
It. It's kibosh. This is when you're, like, if you get location data from Google, that's what this is. So you can't just do that anymore. You have to have a warrant in Utah. Google probably likes that.
Yeah.
Because
people won't get scared.
Yeah, they don't want you to be scared of using their product. Now, there is kind of a loophole, and it's maybe not the biggest, but it will be abused, and that is imminent danger.
Yeah, kidnapping, stuff like that.
Yeah, but they don't spell out exactly what that is, I think. It's just the judge interprets imminent danger.
Yeah.
To who, what constitutes imminent danger.
Well, they still have to get the warrant after the fact, so that'll be good, maybe.
You can't use it in court.
Yeah.
But as we've learned with Google location data, they almost never use it in court.
Yeah.
They use it to get other evidence.
Parallel construction.
Yeah, so.
It's like, we don't want to talk about where this came from.
Remember, now, okay, so speaking of states doing amazing things, how was it, 6 months ago? Maybe longer? We were like, wow, New York really did something amazing. They put their foot down and they said, Charter, you're lying to people. You're charging hidden fees. You're doing all this garbage. Your service sucks. You're out. You're gone.
I remember that. We were excited.
They never really left. And now,
Charter has struck a deal to remain in New York. They've got until 2021 to build out their infrastructure. Charter, for their part, says that they do not admit any wrongdoing and that these infrastructure improvements were already scheduled and this is nothing to see here and move along, citizen.
No fine, no admission of wrongdoing, just double the amount that they were going to put into building out infrastructure. So, and they have until 2021, I think.
Foreshadowing, level one news report 2021. They're out!
Yeah, really. Or somebody new is in government at that time.
Yeah.
And they make a cozy deal with them.
Yeah, they literally do not care.
Now, they did talk about, foreshadowing again, with the Netflix deal, some of the people in New York are really feeling the heat because they lost Amazon.
Oh.
And like powerful people are like, what are you doing chasing business out of New York? So they might have been like, oh, you know what? Come back in, Charter, please. Go. We need those tax dollars.
Our next story makes me very depressed on a personal level.
Yeah, this hits home for us because, I mean, this wasn't going to affect us, but maybe you thought
someday
it would continue to spread, but no.
Google Fiber has to pay nearly $4 million to Louisville in an exit deal. It's $3.96 million, and that is to restore public rights of way and utility infrastructure to its original condition because Google experimented with this new micro-trenching thing in Louisville, Kentucky, where they would only dig a trench like 2 or 3 inches deep and put a fiber optic cable, because those fiber optic cables really aren't very large. They don't carry any electricity. If somebody hits one, it's not really a big deal, except it takes out internet for people. But if you get enough redundant infrastructure in place that you monitor it, maybe it's not a big deal. Well, the grand experiment failed, citing problems with the infrastructure and also regulatory problems. Google has pulled out. It's just not profitable. And from the article, it seems like only 30 to 40,000 homes at most were serviceable. Very small number, very small area of Louisville. So this was not well planned or well executed.
$4 billion to scoop out that little bit of garbage in there and put more pavement in its place.
$4 million.
I thought it was billion. I thought that seemed a little weird.
$4 million is not really a lot.
If you only had 30,000 homes to go to, then the darkest day in the United Kingdom. It's been forewarned and people thought, nah, it's crazy. It's never going to happen. But now you can mark your calendar. Go right now if on your phone or if you use a paper calendar, you know, put a big X on it, big scary X. July 15th.
I'm going to change the headline of The Guardian here a little bit. Online pornography age checks to be mandatory in UK from the 15th of July. You're going to have to get all your porn from Reddit, because Reddit is one of the websites that has been accepted. Like a lot of the places.
Facebook.
Yeah. Well, I don't, you know.
I mean, they don't do porn, but all the big social media sites were excluded because even though they don't do porn, they could accidentally, you know, somebody could post it.
No, Reddit definitely does.
Doesn't catch it. Of course, you can't go to Tumblr now. But this has been really lampooned because it's going to be trivial to get around.
I really like the politicians where they're like, we've balanced individual privacy with our complete lack of understanding of how the internet works. It's just, come on, guys.
But even then, the idea is that it protects children from pornography. That's the only thing that you can say. I mean, it's
got some bad news for you.
Morality thing, but this is the unintended consequence will be incredible, as all of the places where you didn't usually have porn will now be covered in porn because you're pushing people out of the normal channels of porn. It's nonsensical.
Yeah. Your only hope for children on the internet is literally to just give them their own internet that is highly curated, a walled garden, if you will.
Imagine the predation that would happen on the child's internet.
Yeah.
You'd have to spend more money keeping the creeps out of the child internet than keeping the children out of the regular internet.
Yeah.
Just, people should raise their own kids. Yeah. It's your problem.
Yeah.
Your children are your problem. And you know what? Life's going to suck. You're going to have to watch them as they play and get on the internet. And it's a bad time. So don't have children.
Remember before, in an age before the internet, when it was like, oh, these books in the library, they contain controversial things. I'm talking about like To Kill a Mockingbird, for example. And now it's the internet. And so it's like, oh, it's different when it's the internet. It's like, yeah, legit. We, you know, from a literary standpoint, it's like, no, we can't ban books. That's terrible. But when the internet's involved, oh, that seems fine.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit easier to keep copies of The Tropic of Cancer out of libraries than it is to keep people off from sites on the internet. It's just a different world. But whatever. I'm sure that some enterprising individual, maybe it's VPN companies, maybe it's just people hawking USB drives on the street, are going to make a lot of money from this.
It's amazing. It's like, where are you going, you know, Francois? It's like, oh, I've got to go to the alley. I'm meeting someone that, and it's just got a trench coat full of USB sticks.
I'll bet you that the UK police will have like little data readers and phones. And running. It's like, you got a license for that, mate? And read your USB? There will be a whole police unit committed to scanning your USB drive. It's like, you know, bend that USB drive.
Privacy advocates always use the same identity to get their online porn license. It's like, this guy's registered for 200,000 licenses. What's going on?
The other bit of European news, it's not really a surprise, but we should just note that the next step has been taken. You know, take your hat off. Press F to pay respects.
The European Commission gives its final seal of approval to the copyright law overhaul. This is both the link tax and the other shenanigans that Europe has been up to forever. This was, we said this was going to happen. This is basically rubber stamp.
I don't think there was any chance this wasn't going to happen after the last vote.
I like a lot of the people in our comments from past news said that, you know, mandatory content filtering was not really part of this anymore. And that French authorities were saying that as well. But immediately after, not this, but the last episode, they were like, all right, let's talk about the mandatory content filters. And it was a complete 180. That was a surprise, not to us, but to some people.
Bad time. Bad time. I mean, you can't look, you can't click on links. You can't get porn. Okay. Of course, that's just the UK, I guess. I wonder if the EU will adopt the porn filter.
I think they're going to go back to Euronet. We're going to have the internet and Euronet. And
Russia's got their own now.
Yeah, we're going to have to have a passport.
You know China's going to get their own.
Yeah. Well, they kind of already do behind the Great Firewall, because there are a lot of sites that are not reachable from Western countries that are behind the Great Firewall because they have an internal IP address.
Seems like a good thing for the internet. Split it up like that. I mean, what could go wrong? And up to the Great White North of Canada, they have an interesting legal battle going on, as Google seems to be attempting to build a town.
Sidewalk Labs' ambitious smart city plans now face a legal battle. So Sidewalk Labs, that's actually Google, it turns out, or it's a Google subsidiary.
They call them a sister company.
And they're doing a lot of interesting things in terms of, like, data collection.
I think you mispronounced Orwellian.
Well, it's really bizarre. So, like, kind of a side tangent, but related to this. One of the things that Sidewalk Labs came up with is a thing for city planners to use. And so, like, if you're in a park, normally, like, a city planner would just go to a park with a clipboard and make a note of how people are using the park. It's like, okay, there's, you know, there's a middle-aged woman laying in the grass. There's two people sitting on a bench. There's, you know, there's somebody bike through on a bicycle. And so just whatever they could observe, and they would just write it down, you know, not anything to do with anybody's identity, but, you know, who they are, and they guesstimate their age and their gender and maybe their race and some other things, and, you know, compile this. And there are some really famous studies that do that. Well, Sidewalk Labs, one of the things they made was an application to help researchers do that. But it seems kind of weird because Google already has literally all of that information. If you have a mobile phone and you're using any Android apps, or you're using Android or any Google apps on your iDevice, Google literally already has that data and is using it. And if you don't think so, go to Google Maps and put in a restaurant, and it will tell you how busy the restaurant is right now, which is based on people's mobile phone data. So imagine that scaled up to an entire city and using that for planning. That's kind of what they're talking about here.
Well, more importantly, this is going to be augmented with basically tracking everything that you do while you're here. And it's a part of Toronto, waterfront Toronto, and license plate readers, cameras, microphones, anything that you can imagine to track what's going on in the guise of making a better city, making a smart city, as they would say.
But technically, it's all public. But when you aggregate all of this, something sinister happens.
Well, and so the people are saying, hey, I don't necessarily live here, but I live near here. And you're basically invading my privacy by doing all of this. I might go there. And it's not up to Google to decide about the privacy of Toronto, people of Toronto. And nobody asked us if we wanted this. So some people are suing. I don't know if I like their chances, because you got to think that there's going to be a ton of money poured into Toronto from Google. And people are probably going to like it for the most part. It'll probably be clean. It'll probably be crime-free. And all that data being sucked out will be making Google a ton of money, but nobody will realize it, really.
And a lot of the stuff that Google was talking about is technically public information already. The difference is that it's a top-down organization where literally every piece of information that you could collect from all kinds of disparate sources will be collected by a single entity.
And there was a woman who they hired as like the privacy consultant. She has quit in protest because she required anonymization of every data source before storage. Like, that was her line in the sand. If there's any way that you can match these up somehow and track individual people and what they're doing and where they're going, that cannot happen. And Google was like, yeah, we're going to do that. So she quit.
We're literally already doing that.
Yeah, so it kind of shows you where Google's heart is on this thing. They see all that delicious data and feeding that into the ad system. And wow, that's just a dream come true.
It's like someday the algorithm is going to be like, Timmy is considering the following large purchases. The algorithm says if we give Timmy a mint chocolate chip ice cream the next time he goes to Central Park, he will purchase the Tesla Model S. It's like, dispatch the concierge to get him the, you know, chocolate chip whatever.
It's fine. The drone.
The Amazon drone.
The refrigerated drone. This one, much like the EU one, this is another just rubber stamp. We talked about this before, but Russia is definitely doing their internet controls.
This is not the same thing that we reported on last week. This is another one. So the noose tightens further, if you will. The Russian parliament has adopted an internet controls bill. So the last bill was Russia needs the ability to shut down the internet in the event of something crazy happening. This is much more fine-grained controls over what people inside Russia experience in terms of content from the internet.
Well, you have to route all Russian traffic through these nodes in Russia. So basically, spy nodes, where they will observe all traffic. They admit it's going to slow things down, could cause unexpected problems. We're doing it anyway. The excuse they use, which is kind of an eerie echo of the U.S. government, is we have to protect Russia from the U.S. trying to take us off the internet. Whereas we have to
protect
everybody.
That sounds spooky, doesn't it?
Yeah, we protect from China. Russia protects from us. It's just, it's a circle.
Oh, no.
We've always been at war. Moving into security news. What do you have with every security news? Unsecured database. This week is no different. This week, it's Mexico. Well, it's not actually in Mexico. It was a Mexican embassy.
This hacker has dumped thousands of sensitive Mexican embassy documents online. And he tried to contact the embassy to say, hey, your stuff's insecure. They ignored him. So what do? You post it on the internet.
This was in Guatemala. There's an example of some of the stuff that they've got. That seems important. Doesn't seem like something you want on the internet.
That's crazy.
How about a passport?
Oh, obviously.
We've got that. So, yeah, this guy wanted some money. He contacted him. He was like, hey, what's your bounty policy? Not only did they not give him a bounty, they ignored him. So he put it online. The web service that he used to put it online, the hosting service has taken it down, but it was up for some amount of time.
Oh, it's already been replicated to the dark net. No worries.
I'm sure, yeah. And here's an interesting, it's always amazing when Microsoft has massive security issues and they are just really dumb mistakes. It's entertaining, but also terrifying.
Unexpected protection added to Microsoft Edge subverts IE security. Permissions that Edge added to download files break important security features. So you can read a file from the browser. It'll just arbitrarily upload a file from your file system.
Yeah, it's an XML thing. And it doesn't work on, I think Windows 10 is safe. if you go back to 7, 8, some of those, then, and if you don't have Edge, IE will actually protect itself. If you do have Edge, then Edge introduces a different quote-unquote security fix that undoes the IE fix and allows that to work. It's a very complicated thing, but obviously don't use those browsers.
Microsoft is trying to take pity on web developers that have to support IE 11 because you can call the IE Edge rendering engine from IE 11, depending on what version of IE 11 you have, but the implementation is not perfect, as evidenced by this issue.
Remember the NSA tools that got leaked? That was fun, right?
Oh, it's an ongoing treasure trove of fun, yes.
Well, it's not just America that falls in the crosshairs of these people. How about Iran?
Source code of Iranian cyber espionage tools have been leaked on Telegram. So these are APT-34 hacking tools. And yeah, it's on Telegram since last month. So you can download these and have the same tools that the Iranian government has, because why not?
I don't know how much of it was flag waving or how much of it was legitimate, but everybody they interviewed about this or had quotes on were like, yeah, this is kind of the kindergarten of hacking. It's nothing like our beautiful NSA tools. Those were amazing.
The criminal organizations are still using those to wreak havoc. It's just, when are they going to bring that? Like, they're bringing the malware tech guy down for the Kronos thing. When are they bringing the NSA people down for those tools? Because those tools are much worse.
This guy also, so there's the list of some of the stuff they had. They also have lists of targets here, which is interesting. A lot of other Middle Eastern targets, which I guess maybe I don't know much about Middle Eastern espionage, but you would think the specter of Iran that they paint for us would all be them going after us. But no, it's all United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia and stuff like that, which I guess they're our ally. But that's embarrassing. Also got some username and passwords that they stole with that stuff. So
they need their own internet, and this won't happen.
Oh, you know, I should have put this next to the Edge article, because once again, this is Microsoft shooting itself in the foot.
McAfee joins Sophos, Avira, and Avast. The latest Windows update breaks them all. So basically, Microsoft's got an update. They didn't test it with any third-party antivirus programs because Microsoft doesn't test anymore. They fired all their testers like 10 years ago, and Windows is getting to be as unstable as a moose on rollerblades. It's very bad. The worst-case scenario here is you're just going to get like a blue-screen boot loop type thing. Best-case scenario, your antivirus is not actually working.
Yeah, you can boot safe mode, get around it, turn off your antivirus. That's what they suggest, which is interesting. Remember that time they were like, there might be a risk that the encryption can be broken, so you should stop encrypting your emails. That's one of those kinds of solutions. But the Microsoft and Ars Technica kind of surmise this might be true. It may be that this was insecure all along, and the antivirus companies were kind of taking a little shortcut there because they knew about it.
Mm.
And this actually is something that they should fix. So,
still, it would have been nice to, it's like, hey guys, we fixed the vulnerability in the kernel. Here's a memo. Like, we know you guys are using it. Can you, can you guys like not do that in the next version or two? Thanks.
Or even, here's a preview. You want to test it? Make sure that your antivirus works.
Yeah, no.
That'd be something. I guess technically, though, Microsoft just wants you to use their thing. So
Microsoft fired the guy inside Microsoft that would have emailed their people to be like, hey, test this. It's been replaced by the bot. It's not very good.
Krista, it's too bad she's not here. She is a big consumer of Weather Channel content. And as she has admitted on multiple occasions, total victim of the clickbait. That is what the Weather Channel serves these days. And so this may have affected her, although I think she consumes it online.
Wall Street Journal has this. The computer attack knocks the Weather Channel off the air. It was a ransomware attack. They were down for a couple hours, which is a pretty quick recovery. But one of their systems was connected to the internet, and that was tied into their broadcast system. And so they were just, they couldn't do anything. They were paralyzed.
You got to think they paid that. I didn't read this article because paywall, Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal, you got to give it up to their paywall. It's the only one that beats me. I can work around the rest of them. But the one I read was like ZDNet or something, and they did not say whether or not they paid it. But you kind of get the impression the speed with which it was recovered,
yeah,
they paid it.
They're just like, okay, sounds good.
I would love to know what they paid.
I don't, you know, it's hard to get Bitcoin that quickly anymore. Coinbase makes you wait forever, and, you know, the others, it's just the exchanges are not great.
Yeah, but who owns Weather Channel?
I don't know.
I think it's a bigger entertainment company, and I'm sure they've got a little wallet somewhere just for this occasion.
They really have stepped up. I mean, the Weather Channel is watching some of the stuff. They've stepped up what they're doing with graphics and things. Like, they've got that visualizer thing where, like, the host is, like, inside a 3D environment as far as the camera, and, like, the camera will move and the environment moves, but it was all like, hey, in New Orleans, when the levees fail, this is what's going to happen with the water, and, like, all the houses were underwater, and the traffic lights were underwater. It was a very effective demonstration. I can see why Krista would click the clickbait.
Yeah, but as far as the TV channel, how are you going to compete? What is it, like, Weather on the Eights or something or other? So, any time that ends in an 8, they give you the weather, as opposed to the one that's in my pocket that's whenever I want. So, I think they have to go to that sensational stuff because, you know, old people are like, cares. Oh, pretty pictures. And finally, when we talk about, you know, again, leaks, unsecured databases, you think about what's the worst that can happen. So maybe one of the worst was the ones where the secret agents got their names leaked.
Oh, yeah.
Because literally people get killed. Medical is obviously bad. Children stuff, you know, that makes you kind of cringe a little bit. But this one is particularly bad because these are people who really would like to keep this a secret and are trying to do the right thing.
Patient names, treatments, and other stuff has leaked among millions of rehab records. So this is exposed data of 150,000 people. A lot of people were in this database more than one time, but it's really just sort of data points in their medical history. So things like rehab.
Yeah, I think rehab tends to have recidivism
More
than other kinds of medical treatment. So certainly if you're looking for employment, I don't think, is rehab like a public record type thing? It's probably not. Because it would be a stigma.
No, you don't even have to disclose it to an employer. So, like, people may lose their jobs over this because their employer will flag it. Probably some unscrupulous background check companies will scoop this up and add it to their background check database. So when you run a background check on employee X, it's like, oh, there you go.
Well, you get the official report, and then the phone rings. It's like, oh, hey, off the record?
Yeah.
Yeah, heroin. So that's unfortunate. But just goes to show you, in the world of cloud computing, nothing is secret for long.
And that's it for this episode of the news. Tomorrow we've got what?
Business and probably robot or social media. Depends on which one's shorter.
I am really excited to talk about the Qualcomm versus Apple thing. That's going to be amazing. Don't miss it.